I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashpin, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapak, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Waupun, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, State Matters, Wishwaters, Climate. I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey.
This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin, and I often ask you to tell me where to go for a special Wisconsin experience. And today we are headed to Wisconsin's Northwoods. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November 8th. We have with us this hour two guides, a husband and wife team, who will share with us places to go and things to do in Wisconsin's Northwoods. What do you love to do in the north central area of the state, or anywhere in the north of Wisconsin, especially in the fall and the winter? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are very happy to have with us, as I mentioned, a husband and wife team. They are both guides for Wisconsin's Northwoods. John Bates is the author of 7 books on the Northwoods and the Upper Midwest. He is the writer of a biweekly column, a Northwoods Almanac, for the Lakeland Times in Minocqua. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Joy.
And Mary Burns is with us. She is a writer, award-winning weaver, a guide as well with her husband, John. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Joy. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us. This is really going to be fun. I love the Northwoods area. I have not spent as much time up there, obviously, as you, but it has been a while as well. You are both, John, you're in Manitouish Waters, is that right?
Well, we're actually in the crossroads of Manitouish. We call ourselves the bedroom suburb for Manitouish Waters. We're just a little crossroads of 29 people. A little south of Mercer in southern Iron County.
Oh, all right. My goodness. I actually did make a stop in Mercer this summer, and it was driving through. We were driving through on our way to Bayfield, and I stopped in Mercer and had to take a picture by the giant loon. But I'm certainly familiar with where you are. You have written just so many different books on the area. And I wanted to talk a little bit. We can talk about year-round in the Northwoods, but since we are in fall, waiting for winter to arrive, let's talk a little bit about that to start. I mean, it's a different time of year, John, a whole different place in the fall and winter?
Well, it really is. There's two transformational times, I think, in the Northwoods. One is the green up in the spring, when suddenly we've gone from this white landscape in 2 or 3 weeks into this amazing different shades of green. And then there's this time when we go just the opposite way, although we've lost all of our green. We're mostly in browns and tans and yellows right now. And then suddenly we get that first snow, which we did get 3-4 days ago. And you wake up in the morning and everything, it's this white painterly kind of landscape that now is so utterly different. So it's a huge transformation. And for plants and animals, I always describe it as kind of an Armageddon. They have to figure out how to survive, because now we've got literally five months of ice and snow and below freezing temperatures that traditionally, anyway, occur up here.
Oh, my goodness. How much snow do you have right now?
Oh, just a couple inches. Nothing serious, but enough that if you're a bird and you haven't figured it out yet, you better be on your way if you're a migrator and so forth. Everything has to have figured this out, otherwise it certainly, whatever that species is, certainly can't live up here.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, which I hope I can see up there around this time of year, is it's on my list of things that I really want to see in Wisconsin. It's the white deer. Tell us about the white deer.
Yeah. Well, a good friend, Jeff Richter, who lives in Mercer, just down the road a ways, did a exceptional book called White Deer, Ghosts of the Forest, 4 or 5 years ago, chronicling this herd, if you will. I don't know if it's really a herd as such, but it's a number of individuals that are in the Boulder Junction area in particular that are albino deer, and apparently have been here, as you know, speculation on our part for centuries, given some fur trade journals where they talk about seeing white elk or white deer on lakeshores. So why we have these particular deer here beats me, but we do. There's some up in Land O'Lakes. There's some down here by Manitowish Waters. And you know, there's scattered albino deer all over the state and all over the Midwest and so forth, but we seem to have a particular concentration of them in the Boulder Junction area, and quite a few people come up to try to see them.
And are they easy to spot, or are they elusive?
Well, they're like any deer. They're not tethered, so it would be a joy if they were. Make it easy for us, but so it's catch as catch can. We've seen them, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times. It's just being in the right place at the right time. Some folks do feed them in the Boulder Junction area, so they're fairly regular in those particular areas. But there's some hangout places that people go to where you have a greater likelihood. But it's always a roll of the dice.
Well, you and your wife, Mary, are both Northwoods guides and authors, and in your books you often describe a deep love of the landscape. John first and then Mary, what is so special about the Northwoods landscapes?
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm a Pennsylvania boy, so I'm a transplant from 40 years ago, though I moved up here. So married a Wisconsin girl, and much to my good fortune. So now in my 60s, so I've been here a long time. But I always think of 5 W's. I guess it's water, first of all. We have more water than just about anywhere else in the world, one of 4 areas in the world with this density of lakes on the landscape. So Biloth County, for instance, has 15% of the landscape is lakes, and another 19% are wetlands. So that's over a third. So my stock statement is that for every 3 steps you take in Biloth County, one's going to squish. It's a wet place with these gorgeous lakes. So it's woods. It's water. It's woods. It's wildlife. It's wildness. And it's winter. Those are the 5 W's that kind of make up this unique place we call the Northwoods, and that people come up from a very far distance, and it's usually the highlight of their year, coming up here for whatever time they can spend, because it still echoes so much of the natural world and has so much of it still retained.
Yeah. So, Mary, are you from the Northwoods originally?
No, I grew up in Wausau, but we spent all kinds of time up here when I was a kid. And John and I actually live in my grandparents' old home in Manitowish, which has been in the family since the early 1920s.
Wonderful. And what is so special about the area for you?
Well, I think that a big part of it for me is the fact that we're so rooted here. I mean, I have this family history here. I grew up loving the Northwoods, and it's the beauty, the quiet, and the opportunities to be out in nature that really ties the heart to the land.
You used the Northwoods as the backdrop for your novel, Heartwood. I have not read it, but what is it about the Northwoods that lends itself to a novel for young adults?
A lot of the book is based on the natural history of the area, the forests, and then the interconnectedness of the native peoples, and then the Europeans coming in, and all the logging that happened. And the novel is set here, and it focuses mainly on a young girl and her grandparents and how they are trying to heal the land following the logging.
Mm-hmm. Well, I spent a lot of time in the Northwoods when I was a young girl, too. My parents, I'm not sure, I think it's still considered the Northwoods. It's northeastern Wisconsin, Florence County. And they got a retirement cottage up in the Spread Eagle area, and so I did spend a lot of time up there, and you know, wandering the woods and picking berries and swimming in the lakes and fishing and that sort of thing. you and John both mention your love of wandering. John, what are some of your favorite trails to wander?
Well, that's the fun thing of being up here that Mary alluded to, is that every day we kind of pull out the maps and go, okay, where do today? And so locally, one of the closer ones that few folks know about because it's pretty new is a place called Van Vliet Hemlocks, which is in Vilas County over towards Presque Isle. It's a 400-plus acre site that is now owned by the DNR that really is, it's just had some trails put in the last 2 years by friends of the Van Vliet Hemlocks Association. They put these trails in, and it's an older growth forest, beautiful hemlocks and yellow birch, and it's this hilly, hummocky terrain right on the Winnegar Moraine. It's where the glacier ended up here, 11,000 years ago. So you got all this kind of tumbly ups and downs and all around, and this beautiful, these beautiful trees. It's just a great place. We try to get there as frequently as we can. Mm-hmm. And then the state forest, we're in the Northern Highlands State Forest, which is 230,000 or so acres, and there are an awful lot of trails, both marked and designated, and a whole bunch that aren't.
Yeah. And do you have a favorite, Mary?
Well, we're so blessed with opportunities here that it's hard to have a favorite, mm-hmm. but there are just wonderful trails, like John was saying, in the Northern Highlands. So places like Fallison and the Raven, there's a great trail over near North Lakeland Discovery Center. They have trails right on their property, and they've just opened a new set of trails between Manitowish Waters and Winchester called the Win Man Trail System. And it's, you can hike there, you can mountain bike there, and in the winter there's going to be two different kinds of snowshoe trails, one that's heavily groomed and packed, so you can take those little metal snowshoes and go. And then there'll be trails that aren't tracked that you can probably take your bigger snowshoes and make your own trail. And then they'll have a series of cross-country ski trails. They'll both be diagonal striding and skate trails. So there's some great opportunities here. And then just going off into the woods, especially in the winter, seeing as how that's right, we're right on the cusp of the snow here, it's great. You can take your snowshoes and just make your own trail. And you can't get lost because you can just follow your trail back out. So we try to encourage people to look around and see where they're drawn to and see if it's public land and just give it a try.
We are talking about Wisconsin's Northwoods. This is a Northwoods edition of Tell Joy Where to Go, talking with Mary Burns and John Bates. They are a husband and wife guide team for Wisconsin's Northwoods, and we're welcoming your questions. We're also welcoming your recommendations. What do you love to do in Wisconsin's Northwoods, especially this time of year? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you live in the Northwoods? Have you ever visited? What special places or experiences can you recommend to others who might be listening and thinking of visiting? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the Northwoods of Wisconsin during this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 24 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November 8th. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin, and I often ask you to tell me where to go for a unique Wisconsin experience. And we are focusing in on Northwoods experiences during this hour with our two guests, John Bates and Mary Burns. And we welcome your questions for them, and we also welcome your recommendations of things to do, places to go in Wisconsin's Northwoods. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, I see here, John, that you're working on a new book about old growth forests in Wisconsin and where to find them. Where do you find them?
Well, there aren't very many. The estimate is about 0.2% of the original landscape is still in old growth forest. So 99.8% was logged or lost through natural forces. So it's a spotty kind of occurrence. There are a couple areas that we really love going to. There's an area down by a little west of Minocqua. It's called the Round Lake Complex kind of area. There's three little old growth stands there. There's one called the Memorial Grove Stand, and another one called the Patterson Hemlocks, and another called Tucker Lake Hemlocks. Each one of those is probably less than 100 acres, but they are these gorgeous places that retain that sensibility of a place that's been there for 300, 400, 500 years with minimal disturbance, both by natural forces and by human forces. And those are just so remarkably gorgeous to step into and kind of feel, I guess, not only that the beauty, but just that sense of history and sense of many people having been in this place in a similar way. And so you can kind of feel this historical context. Another place is over by Eagle River, the Franklin Butternut Lake area, which is a little east, 15 miles or so east of Eagle River. There's some 400-year-old hemlocks over in that area. There's a nature trail a mile long that goes through this gorgeous stand of hemlocks right on Franklin and Butternut Lakes. So I'd recommend either of those two places among others, but those are two great ones. The best pine stand, by the way, just since we're going there, is Cathedral Pines over by Lakewood, over in the northeastern part. So when you were over in Florence County, you might have been somewhat close to this stand. It's a relatively small stand of big pines, but there's some 48-inch diameter pines, which they're pretty spectacular. Not quite as big as they used to be. There used to be 4 to 7 footers way back, but this is about as big as that they still exist anyway in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, if I'm hiking around those forests, or for that matter, any place in the Northwoods, what am I going to? A lot of birding to be done still at this time of year?
Not a whole lot. No, there's some things to look for, though. In my humble opinion, we just saw an email from Crex Meadows over in Burnett County in the western part of the state. Crex Meadows is a 30,000-acre kind of brush prairie site with all this open water, 6,000 acres of its open water. And they are a sandhill crane staging area. And on Halloween, so just a week ago, they had 13,300 sandhill cranes.
Wonderful.
In that area. And boy, that's an amazing number of cranes. I don't know if they're still there. This is a week later, and we've gotten some snow. Cranes may have moved on. But that's a fabulous place. The other place that right now that I think still really interesting would be to go up to Shawamigan Bay up in the Ashland area on Lake Superior. Awful lot of waterfowl tend to concentrate down in that far southern end of Lake Superior, or in that Ashland area. And you can, if you have a nice pair of binoculars or scope, you can see all kinds of cool stuff that are still hanging out, not refusing to give up on fall. But otherwise, boy, you know, we have 232 nesting species or so in Wisconsin. 133 are neotropical migrants, so they're down in you know, Central America drinking pina coladas, having a nice time right now while we're already started our so-called suffering up here with the cold.
I'll be seeing them a little bit later next year. Dan in Drummond is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hello. one of the things I would like to say is if you haven't lived until you've driven in the wintertime the ice road from Bayfield to Madeline Island.
That is on the list, Dan, for sure. So have you done that? What makes that so special?
Well, it's just the idea that three-quarters of the year you're going across on a ferry and the other quarter you're going across on 2 or 3 feet of ice. And it's just an awesome thing to, you know, look across, look around you and see this barrenness. And then usually after Christmas, what they do to map the road is they take the Bayfield Christmas trees and they put them along the different sides of the road, and that's so you can tell where the road is.
That's a good idea. Well, you know, we have news coming up in just 30 seconds, but John, that ice road from to Madeline Island, is that something to do?
Absolutely. Mary and I have done that a few times, and one time we did it, and the wind was blowing like crazy, and you really couldn't see where you were. And it's a very odd experience because you know you're driving on ice, and you know, it's something worth doing. Absolutely, the gentleman's correct.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan, for the call. Well, what else would you recommend that we do in the Northwoods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll continue after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We will continue our guided tour of Wisconsin's Northwoods with our guides, John Bates and Mary Burns, after we hear this week's edition of Wisconsin Life. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Friday, November 8th. In today's edition of Wisconsin Life, we hear about a familiar fall ritual. Writer Christy Clancy prepares for winter by shutting down her cottage.
Even with the fireplace, we can't escape the cold. It rises through the floor and seeps in through the cracks under the doors. The insulation we pumped into the walls will extend the season by a few weeks, but the windows don't have storms. There's no boiler, not even a basement to put one in. Our East Troy Lake cottage forces us to pick the day summer will end. We stuff the grill, kayak, and sun umbrella through the barn doors of the tiny garage. We dismantle the water softener. We turn on a bare light bulb in the cabinet with the pipes. Finally, we pour antifreeze in the toilet and cover the furniture with sheets, like corpses. It's hard to leave. The house is charming the way a lake house should be, with beadboard on the walls and ceilings, a screened-in porch, and a real cottage smell that makes everyone who comes here nostalgic for some other cottage they'd been to when they were kids. The lake is big and spring-fed with a sandy bottom, giant lily pads, and channels that lead to other lakes to explore. We have a closing checklist we've developed over the years, one that grew with trial and error. One year we forgot to empty the pantry. When we returned the next spring, mice had torn through boxes of pancake mix, oatmeal, and spaghetti noodles and had made nests in our dresser drawers. Another year, moths had chewed through the wool blankets my mother knit for us because we didn't seal them in plastic boxes. This cottage forces us to be slaves to the seasons. I grow increasingly aware that it requires youth and strength to own this little old house, and that someday the work might be too much for us. Sometimes we talk about winterizing it. Winterize. Such a funny word. As much as I love it here, I resist this idea. Most of the cottages on Lake Beulah have been torn down and replaced with suburban houses, even mansions. They have beating hearts all year long. They might be more fancy and expensive than ours, but what they've gained in comfort and use still seems to add up to a loss of something essential. Like most rituals, this process of opening and closing, this cycle of expectation and melancholy, helps my life make sense. It forces me to appreciate my dimming youth and acknowledge the way seasons and life change. It encapsulates memories and makes summers feel like they're suspended, always happening. I think of the people who have been here and see happily married couples that are now divorced, sick friends drinking wine on an Adirondack chair, perfectly healthy. I see children who are looking at colleges learning how to water ski for the first time. It's as if these memories get preserved in the icy cold. Most houses offer comfort and warmth, but this cottage tells me to go away, forget about it for the winter. So I leave, knowing it will be here, waiting for me.
Christy Clancy is a writer and professor of English at Beloit College. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. This is a Northwoods edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. Each week at this time, we celebrate life in Wisconsin. We talk about things to do, places to go, things to see, foods to eat. Sometimes we focus in on a specific region of the state. We have in the past talked about Madison, Milwaukee, Door County, Bayfield, the Great River Road along the Mississippi in western Wisconsin, Wisconsin Dells. This hour we are exploring the Northwoods in northern Wisconsin with our guides, John Bates and Mary Burns. They are telling us where to go for a Wisconsin Northwoods experience. 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can call if maybe you're planning a visit to the Northwoods and you'd like to ask our guests about going there, what's going on. Or you can tell me where to go and other listeners where to go. What special places or experiences can you recommend in the Wisconsin Northwoods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. John Bates is the author of 7 books on the Northwoods and Upper Midwest. He is writer of a biweekly column, A Northwoods Almanac, for the Lakeland Times in Minocqua. And Mary Burns is a writer and award-winning weaver. She's also a Northwoods guide with her husband, John. And Mary, I wanted to touch on this with you a little bit. That piece just reminded me. You said you're living in your grandparents' place right now, and you really kind of grew up in Wisconsin's Northwoods. Is this that piece that we just heard, people shutting down their cabins for the winter, is that what happens up there a lot? Are people just summertime residents, or are there the McMansions on the lake, as she described here in southern Wisconsin?
By the way, I thought that piece was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well done and very touching. There are people who live here year-round, like us, and then there are the cottages that are still cottages that people go to and celebrate summer, as in the essay. And I remember doing that as a kid. My parents eventually bought a cottage, and it was a summer place, and you couldn't stay there in the winter. It wasn't insulated. It wasn't, you know, it didn't have a furnace. And it was very much that whole ritual of draining the pipes and going through all those steps. And so I really related to what she was saying in the essay. And then there are some McMansions. There are places on the lakes that people have gone in and they've torn down the old cottage and they've put in a big house. And some of them are wonderful and some of them are, you wonder why people do it, because they're there so little, you know,
mm-hmm.
a few weeks a year. But I hope that, you know, people living in any of these places are here because they love being here.
Right. And I'm sure they do. And John, is there just a different feel, a different atmosphere when maybe the summertime residents and, for that matter, all the tourists leave for the winter, the fall and winter?
Sure. You know, they estimate for Northern Highland State Forest that we have somewhere around 2 million visitors in a given year, so the place does empty out significantly in October and into November, and so there's a lot more solitude and for some isolation. So, you know, it's different for everybody up here. Mary and I are winter lovers. Mary is a fanatical winter lover, such that, you know, we had such a late spring last year that we still had some snow here in May, and Mary was very happy about that. She was one of 10 people, maybe, in the whole Northwoods that thought that was great, because she still wanted to keep skiing, but so the winter is just so different, and, you know, I think it's it's essential. The the seasons are this kind of theater of geography of place, and without winter, you can't truly appreciate spring and that incredible joy of when things are changing. And winter has its own glory. I mean, it really does. It's just beautiful. I'm looking out our window right now, and every single branch is covered, and the trees on our property are covered with snow. And it's this it's a different sense of beauty, a different sense of feel and place, and we love it. You have to if you're going to live up here full time.
Yeah. And so, Mary, where do you love to ski?
Well, most often I ski close to home at a trail right near Mercer called the Mecca Ski Trail, and it's a combination of striding trails and some skating trails, and it's supported by the local community. It's, you know, groomed by volunteers. We have a small warming cabin there. It's just a lovely little trail, but there's so many trails in the area. Every winter, Jen and I sit down at the beginning of the winter and we make this big list of places to go skiing, and we never get to half of them. So you can go from bushwhacking, where you go out and make your own trail, to state-of-the-art, very well-groomed places like Minocqua Winter Park is just the best place in northern Wisconsin to get those perfectly groomed trails. I mean, if they have any snow at all, you know they're going to be out grooming. Then there's a place that's just across the border in Michigan called ABR, and they too are very good at grooming. They have a lovely trail system. They're right near Ironwood. And then there's so many trails that are in the state and national forests, places like the Raven. Fallison is a place that's not a ski trail, but you could go in and snowshoe. Escanaba, Tree Eagle Trail in Eagle River, the Anvil Trails near Eagle River. It just goes on and on.
Oh, it sounds great. I did buy my first pair of snowshoes last winter, so I've done rented them before, but I thought might as well have them, and I would love to spend a winter weekend up in the Minocqua area or somewhere in that area and test them out. And I presume there's places to rent cross country skis here and there.
Sure, there are a lot of places you can rent. Right in our area in Minocqua, all of the big ski centers like Minocqua Winter Park have rentals, ABR, and then the ski shops in the towns do as well. So there are a lot of places to go, and a lot of the ski centers have snowshoe trails as well. So snowshoeing's become very popular, and it's pretty much endless where you can go.
Well, we have a caller who's waiting. Let's go to Matthew in Watertown. Hi, Matthew.
Hello.
So do you like to go to the Northwoods?
Yes, I love to go north.
Where do you go?
We go to Green Lake, kind of by Green Bay, a little bit north.
Okay, I don't think I've ever heard of that. All right, so there's a lake north of Green Bay called Green Lake.
Yeah. One thing we really like to do up there, we go to a place called Slippery Rock.
Yes.
And
what do you do there?
It's kind of like a stream that flows down a bunch of rocks, and you can slide down the rocks. It's really, really fun.
Oh, so it's like a natural water slide on the rocks.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, can I ask you, how old are you, Matthew?
I am 9.
Way to go for calling in and letting me know where to go to slide down some slippery rocks. Anything else about slippery rocks or going up north that you want to talk about?
Not really.
All right. Thank you very much, Matthew. Well, we have a 9-year-old listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. I love it. You know, that region of northeastern Wisconsin is famous for waterfalls, but I presume there are waterfalls in your area too, John or Mary?
Sure. Iron County is well known for all the waterfalls. We have the Potato River Falls is just a lovely place. The Montreal River used to have huge falls on it. They were blown up back in the early 1900s in order to make some navigational kinds of things more possible. But there's waterfalls all up there. Patterson State Park has, I think, the largest falls, Manitou Falls, I believe it is, in Wisconsin over in the northwestern part of the state. So, but Iron County is well known for lots of smaller falls, these kind of more intimate places. And, you know, our chambers are doing a great job these days of making sure everybody knows where to go. And so if you want to do a waterfall fall tour, just call the Mercer Chamber of Commerce. And I'll get in trouble if they don't have this, I'm sure. But I think they've got a list of all the waterfalls in Iron County that you can go to, Hurley Chamber. So they're doing a great job of kind of expanding all the opportunities for people, everything anybody could ever want to try.
Will do. John Bates is the author of many books on the Northwoods of Wisconsin and the Upper Midwest. And Mary Burns, his wife, is also a Northwoods guide along with him. We welcome your questions for them. We welcome your experiences, your Northwoods experiences that you would like to share. Tell Joy where to go in Wisconsin's Northwoods. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are you looking forward to cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or some other fall or winter activity in Wisconsin's Northwoods? We'd love to hear from you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is a Northwoods edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. What special places or experiences can you recommend in Wisconsin's Northwoods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tell us about the things you love to do and see in Wisconsin's Northwoods, or ask a question of our guests who are Northwoods guides, John Bates and Mary Burns. And Mary, I understand you're also an enthusiast for dog sledding. What can you tell us about that?
There are a couple friends who live nearby who have dogs and do dog sledding and also ski jarring, which is where you hook up a dog or dogs, they're harnessed, and you wear a special kind of belt, and you lift the dogs, help pull you along. You probably ski faster than you've ever skied in your life.
Oh, my goodness.
Being behind these dogs. But they have a nice kennel. It's called Two Moons Kennel. They're in Springstead. And then up in Bayfield, Mary and John Thiel have Wolf Song Adventures, and they do dog sledding all over in the Bayfield Peninsula area.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are also a number of dog sled races in the Northwoods. Various communities have different events, and it's always fun to go watch the dogs, and they're just so lively and so happy that it's winter. It's great to see.
You know, that reminded me about watching wildlife and wolves when you're talking about that. John, what kind of wildlife watching can we do this time of year? And have you ever seen a wolf in the wild?
Yes, Mary and I've seen wolves, but really quite rarely. 3-4 times probably. It's one of those happenstance kind of things. You see tracks, certainly, and that's one thing you look for. I think one of the interesting things for wildlife up here in particular are the number of, I'll go back to birds if you don't mind, mm-hmm. Number of Canadian birds that will come down here and sometimes into southern Wisconsin that are really fun to see. And we so look forward to, in feeding birds, we get pine grosbeaks and evening grosbeaks and sometimes some crossbill species and, oh gosh, red poles. And it's just a variety of these northern birds that will come down. And there's an awful big contingent of people that do serious birding these days. And an awful lot of folks come up from southern Wisconsin to an area over by Three Lakes in the Headwaters Wilderness area, because it's just very well known for its spruce and balsam fir forest. And they have some specialties over there like spruce grouse and gray jays and boreal chickadees and birds that are just barely down here into northern Wisconsin. They're mostly Canadian birds that are fairly regular over there. So if you're a birder who really loves to see something different, there's an area just to the east of Three Lakes in this place called Headwaters Wilderness. The roads are plowed, and you go down these gorgeous, small, tiny little roads and stop consistently and step out. And I hope you have a magic moment where these birds are present for you.
Wonderful. Yeah. Let's take a couple of calls before we're quickly running out of time here. Bob in West Salem. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I was just going to comment on snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, and probably snowshoeing especially. To really fully experience what snowshoes were made for, you need to go someplace where the snow is deeper than ankle deep, and maybe not a snowshoe trail. Snowshoeing starts where walking gets difficult, so get some lessons somewhere maybe, but the joy of snowshoeing is really in the deep snow. Just thought I'd comment on that.
Thank you very much, and I'm assuming that we're going to have some deep snow, John, where you are pretty soon.
I hope so. Yeah, we average 70-plus inches of snow here. You get up into Hurley, and you're well over 100 inches of snow. Yeah, and he's exactly right. That's when it's most fun, is when you have a deep snow, and it's some serious work, and you need big snowshoes. You can't wear those little tiny aluminum deals. You got to wear some good-sized shoes to get the adequate flotation. We lead snowshoe hikes up here, actually. We do it through Nicolet College as an outdoor adventure series out of Rhinelander. So we have two snowshoe hikes. We're leading one in January and one in February if people would like to join us in areas up here. And we definitely don't go on packed trails. One of them actually is going to be. I take that back. But we tend to want to just go off on non-compacted trails because that's when it's most fun. You're exploring. That's the adventure of it.
Well, I am really looking forward to a trip actually in January, so I'll have to see when that guided snowshoe hike is going on. Maybe I can join you. I want to thank you, John Bates and Mary Burns, both of you, very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John Bates and Mary Burns, they are a husband and wife, Northwoods guides, authors and writers, and Mary also an award-winning weaver, and we thank them both for being with us. Thanks also to Marika Saval for producing this hour, and to Robin Cherry for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.